The place or the tribe called Nahum? NHM as both a tribal and geographic name in modern and ancient Yemen. An article by Neil Rapalai. Published in BYU Studies, Volume 62, Issue 2. This article contains visual elements that cannot be rendered in audio. To access them, find the article at byustudies.byu.edu.
For decades, Latter-day Saint scholars have argued that the place called Nahum in the Book of Mormon, see 1 Nephi chapter 16, verse 34, is the Nehemin region in Yemen, located northeast of Sana'a, west of Marib, and south of the Wadi Jaf. The location fits well both with the directions provided for getting to and from Nahum in the Book of Mormon, see 1 Nephi chapter 16, verses 13, 14, and 33, and chapter 17, verse 1, and with inscriptions dated to Lehi's time, referring to a person called a Nimin, translated as Nehemonite, confirming that the name goes back to the right time period. Publications by Princeton, Oxford, and Brill have talked about the connection, with some hailing the inscriptions as, quote, the first actual archaeological evidence for the historicity of the Book of Mormon, end quote. In recent years, however, skeptics of the Book of Mormon's historicity have raised objections to this connection. One common argument insists that the South Arabian inscriptions referring to Nimin are identifying members of a tribe, and thus cannot be used as evidence for a place called Nahum. One writer, for instance, maintains that in the Book of Mormon, Nahum is inaccurately portrayed as a place rather than a tribal people, and claims that, quote, within an ancient South Arabian context, it does not make sense to speak of Nehemin as though it were a regular place name, end quote. Nehemin has been the name of both a tribe and an administrative district in the Sana'a Governorate since the formation of the Republic of Yemen in 1990. But some believe, quote, it is doubtful that this later use of tribal names to refer to geographical entities can be retrojected onto much earlier periods, end quote. Such skepticism is based, at least in part, on the belief that, quote, careful examination of South Arabian inscriptions indicates that the names of tribes were essentially social-political in orientation, end quote, and therefore carried no geographic meaning. This paper aims to address this issue by, 1, reviewing the historical use of the name Nehemin for both a tribe and place documented back to the early Islamic period, 2, examining the historical relationship between tribes and their territories in northern Yemen going back to antiquity, and 3, assessing the use of Nimin in the ancient inscriptions as interpreted by scholars of ancient South Arabia. As will be shown, the use of Nehemin as a toponym, the name of a place or region, does indeed go back to significantly earlier times, and general use of tribal names as toponyms in Yemen goes back earlier still. This is a natural consequence of the strong connection between tribe and territory in northern Yemen that has existed since pre-Islamic times. When understood in this context, the inscriptions referring to Nimin can reasonably be understood as evidence for both a tribe and place called Nahum going back to the early 1st millennium BC. Nehemin, a tribe and a place. The use of Nehemin as a geographic name predates its relatively recent adoption as the name of an official administrative district in the northeast corner of the Sana'a Governorate. As Warren Aston notes, shortly before the Yemen Arab Republic and South Yemen united to become the Republic of Yemen, quote, Nehem was a fairly large and somewhat loosely defined district, end quote. According to Hiroshi Matsumoto, at this time, the Nehemin was considered a Nahiya district, a third-order administrative level in the Yemen Arab Republic, YAR. In the YAR's administrative structure, quote, the Nahiya's level corresponded to the tribe, end quote. In 1986, Christian Robin reconstructed the boundaries of this loosely defined district or tribal territory, sketching out a 5,000-square-kilometer region that differed in some ways from what later became the Nahimin district, as it is constituted in the Republic of Yemen. Various sources that predate the establishment of the official Nahimin administrative district make formal and informal reference to this region as Nahimin, or one of its variant spellings. For example, in 1947, when Egyptian archaeologist Ahmed Fakhri traveled through what was then called the Kingdom of Yemen, he mentioned passing through, quote, the land of the Bedouins of Nahimin, end quote, just south of the Wadi Jaf. In 1936, British explorer Harry St. John Filby also visited the region and later spoke of a, quote, tribal area known as Bilad, Arabic for country, land, Nahimin, end quote. Nahimin, or one of its variant spellings, is also plotted on several mid-20th century maps, predating the rise of the Republic of Yemen. Sources from before the 20th century paint a similar picture to the present-day situation, using the name Nahimin, or one of its variant spellings, as both a tribal and geographic name. For instance, Haim Habshush, a Yemeni Jew who acted as a travel guide to Joseph Alivi when Alivi explored southern Arabia in 1869 to 1870, provides accounts of traveling through the land of Nahimin among Nahemi tribesmen. A map based on his account shows the land of the Nahimin roughly 30 miles northeast of Sana'a. Alivi's own account also refers to Nahimin variously as the inhabited country of Nahimin, Pays habité de Nahimin, the canton of Nahimin, Canton de Nahimin, and the territory of Nahimin, Territoire de Nahimin. Alivi also mentions the Nahimin among the tribes of Bakil and includes Nahimin on the map published with his report. Earlier still are the various maps from the mid-18th to the early 19th centuries, plotting the Nahimin region, usually spelled N-E-H-E-M or N-E-H-H-M. These maps generally do not provide precise borders, but they consistently show Nahim or Nim to the north or northeast of Sana'a, in the same general area as the Nahimin region today. The use of the Nahimin name on these maps is prima facie, evidence of its use as a geographic name more than 250 years ago. Most of these maps are based either on Jean-Baptiste Danvy's 1751 map of Asia, including Arabia, or on Karsten Niebuhr's 1771 map of Yemen. Niebuhr was the only survivor of the first European expedition to southern Arabia, which lasted from 1761 to 1767, and thus his map of Yemen was based on the first-hand knowledge he gained of the land. He showed Naim to the north-northeast of Sana'a. Unlike most other mapmakers, Niebuhr provided an outline of Naim's borders, which encompassed approximately 2,394 square miles. If this is accurate, it means that at that time, the Nahimin region was slightly larger than the present-day tribal territory, as estimated by Robin. In his writings, Niebuhr characterizes Naim as a principality or small district, and listed it as one of the independent states of Yemen. He never uses the name Naim to refer to a tribe. Thus, the earliest references to Nahimin from modern times frame it primarily as a geographic term rather than a tribal name. D'Anvy's map is the earliest known modern map of Arabia that includes Nahim as the name of a region nearly due north of Sana'a. Since D'Anvy already knew about Nahimin and included it on his 1751 map before Niebuhr's expedition, he must have gleaned that information from an earlier source. The specific source has not presently been identified, but D'Anvy is known to have drawn from Arab sources from the 12th to 17th centuries. D'Anvy's map thus hints that Nahimin was known as a geographic region in sources much earlier than 1751. Warren Aston has identified references to the Nahimin in Arabic sources from the 7th to 13th centuries. Among these, Abu Muhammad al-Hassan al-Hamdani, circa AD 893 to 945, was the most prolific and detailed. Historians of Yemen have long drawn on Hamdani's writings to reconstruct the tribal geography of early Islamic times and assess the continuity and stability of Yemen's tribal structure over the centuries. Based on analysis of Hamdani's writings, Christian Robin found that in the 10th century AD, the Nahimin controlled both the core regions of their traditional tribal lands on the south side of the Wadi Jaf and territory on the north side of the Wadi Jaf, from the Jabal al-Awzi to the Kabun Oasis. More to the point, the Nahimin name is used as both a tribal name and a geographic term in Hamdani's writings, and is applied to both parts of the Nahimin tribal territory. Hamdani thus provides evidence that the use of Nahimin as a geographic name for the same general geographic region, along with additional territory to the north, goes back more than 1,000 years. Other early Islamic histories make only passing reference to Nahimin, but they indicate that the Nahimin had been in this same territory for several centuries by Hamdani's time. Hisham ibn al-Kalbi, circa AD 737 to 819, and Abu Abdallah Muhammad ibn Sa'd, circa AD 784 to 845, reported that the Nahimin were part of the delegation from Hamdan that converted to Islam and made a covenant with the Prophet Muhammad around AD 630. This is corroborated by a letter from Muhammad himself, addressed to the Hamdan tribes and mentioning the Nahimin. This places the Nahimin in the region north of Sana'a, going back to before the rise of Islam. In light of these facts, the use of the Nahimin name as a toponym very likely predates its earliest attestation in Hamdani. After all, the Nahimin tribe was established in the same region for centuries before Hamdani's time, and likely earlier still, and the use of tribal names as toponyms was already common practice at that point, as I will discuss next. As such, the origins of the Nahimin as both a tribe and place are most likely to be found in the pre-Islamic period. Tribe and territory in northern Yemen. This tendency to use tribal names to refer to the lands the tribes occupy is a superficial manifestation of a more deeply rooted conceptual connection between tribes and territory in northern Yemen. According to social anthropologist Mari K. Brandt, one of the basic characteristics of Yemeni tribes is that, quote, they are usually associated with a territory, homeland, or tribal area, end quote. Dr. Barak A. Salmoni and his co-authors, all experts in Middle Eastern history and politics, likewise explain, quote, one characteristic relatively unique to Yemeni tribalism is the strong identification of tribe with place. Unlike tribes in parts of Africa or other areas in the Middle East, North Yemeni tribes do not have a tradition of transhumanism, seasonal movement, nor is a Bedouin nomadism a social value in tribal collective memories. As sedentary agriculturalists, therefore, Yemeni Qabail tribes exhibit a particularly strong attachment to and identification with their territories. Place names and tribe names become nearly identical, end quote. Paul Dresch further elaborates on the relationship between tribe and territory, explaining, quote, the tribes themselves are territorial entities. Usually the territory of each is contiguous, each has known borders with its neighbors, and there are very few points within the land of the tribes which do not belong clearly to one tribe or another, end quote. Dresch adds that, quote, the tribes are taken to be geographically fixed, while men and families who are part of the tribe need not be. The tribes are usually taken always to have been where they are now, end quote. This association is so strong that the honor of the tribe, Dresch explains, quote, depends on maintaining the inviolability of its territory, end quote. As such, defending the honor of the tribe and defending its territorial borders tend to be conceptually and linguistically conflated, quote, so that defense of the borders, Zayn al-Hudud, is an expression of care for the tribe's good name, end quote. Thus, in northern Yemen, tribes are not just people, but in a sense, they are also places, with definable borders that are part of the region's geography. The tribe is identified with its homeland. The territory is the tribe in a certain sense, just as much as the tribesmen are. Thus, to violate that territory in any way is to dishonor and commit offense against the tribe. While the tribal system and ideology in Yemen have not been stagnant over the millennia, this is by no means a new or recent development within the tribal ideology in Yemen. It goes back well into antiquity. In the writings of Hamdani and other medieval Islamic sources, tribal relationships are described in terms of lineage, a practice that seems to have begun in the late pre-Islamic period, circa 5th century AD, and continues to this day. Each tribe is represented as being named after an eponymous ancestor from whom the tribesmen descend, and tribes and sub-tribes are understood in a father-son relationship. Thus, the Nehemen were taken to be descendants of an eponymous ancestor, who was a descendant of Bakir, the larger tribal confederation of which Nehemen is a part. Anthropologists and historians, however, recognize these tribal genealogies as fictitious constructs primarily meant to represent political and territorial relationships among the tribes. As such, the genealogies shift and change as old tribal alliances deteriorate and new ones form. Furthermore, tribes can move up and down in the lineage as they rise or fall in power. Underneath this superficial idiom of lineage, the organization of tribes in the many highlands was based primarily on territory, with toponyms and ethnonyms, names of tribes and other ethnic groups, conflated together and both linked to eponymous ancestors. As Brandt notes, quote, "In many regions of Yemen, territoriality remained a basic principle, since large parts of Yemen's tribal system remained characterized by an apparent longevity of toponyms and territorial boundaries, as opposed to the respective resident population," end quote. The conceptualization of tribes in genealogical terms was an innovation of the early Islamic period, perhaps with its roots in the practices of Yemeni Jews in the late pre-Islamic period, circa 5th century AD. For centuries prior, in the pre-Islamic period, tribes were organized and conceptualized in terms of territory and geography. Brandt explains, quote, "The society of the South Arabian kingdoms of the ESA, early South Arabian period, differs in important respects from that of the 10th century. The evidence from the inscriptions of the pre-Islamic South Arabian societies suggests that descent and lineage were of little importance to the bearers of the ESA cultures. Its communities were first and foremost territorial units and farming populations, in which long elaborate pedigrees were unknown," end quote. The basic social structure of ancient South Arabia was the shub, typically translated as tribe, but also sometimes translated as community. Throughout much of the pre-Islamic period, there was a complex, multi-tiered structure of tribes and sub-tribes, or tribal fractions, all referred to as sha'ab in Sabaic. Specifically speaking of the tribal structure of the Yemeni highlands, Jean-François Breton explains, quote, "Each tribe, sha'ab, took its name from the territory in which it was located. It belonged to a larger tribe, also called a sha'ab, which in turn belonged to a larger sha'ab. Thus, the most solid and durable level of the pyramid was that of the tribe, rather than the clan affiliation. This form of tribal organization is very ancient and has been remarkably stable through the ages. Indeed, some of the most ancient of these tribes, including the Bakil, the Hashid, and the Sinhan, still exist today," end quote. As alluded to here by Breton, the different tribal levels, quote, "were all defined by territorial associations, rather than strictly through kinship," end quote. Indeed, the Sabaic term shab refers specifically to a, quote, "tribal group organized on a political and territorial, not genealogical, basis," end quote. According to Alessandra Avanzini, quote, "the name of a tribe was exclusively territorial and did not refer to a common ancestor," end quote. Avanzini further explains that in the Highlands, using the tribal name in the onomastic formula, which was often done using the Nisba form, indicated that a, quote, relationship with the tribal group and its territory is a privileged identification element, end quote. Thus, tribal names in South Arabian inscriptions are not only socio-political, but also geopolitical, establishing a connection to both the tribe and its territory. Unsurprisingly, given this strong connection between tribes and territory, tribal names are often used as toponyms in ancient South Arabian inscriptions. When naming regions and territories, Christian Robin explains, South Arabians normally refer to political tribal organization, that is, kingdoms and tribal groups. Robert G. Hoyland likewise notes, quote, in the highlands of South Arabia, to specify an area, one would habitually refer to the territory of a tribal group, end quote. Often this is done by prefacing the tribal name with hud, land, but this is not always the case. As Robin says, in order, quote, to designate a territory, inscriptions usually use the names of the shab, tribe, preceded or not by the word hud, land, country, end quote. Numerous examples could be cited. For instance, some inscriptions speak of the land, hud, of Hadramaut, but others simply use Hadramaut in a toponymic way without explicitly calling it a land, hud. Likewise, several inscriptions mention the land, hud, of Himyar, while one inscription speaks of people being on their guard in Himyar, without referring to Himyar specifically as a land, hud. Other tribal names are referred to as a territory, bid, such as the territory bid of Ma'in. Yet, once again, Ma'in is also used in toponymic ways, without being explicitly designated as a territory, bid. For example, one inscription talks about traveling, quote, on the route between Ma'in and Ragumtsum, end quote. Another talks about using the road of Ma'in as a geographical boundary, and two others speak of the boundary of Ma'in. Tribal names are also used in toponymic ways, while also being explicitly identified as a tribe, shab. Thus, one inscription speaks of the borders, utun, of the tribe, shab, of Hashit, and continues to use similar phrases, such as the borders, utun, of the Hashid, and in the west, merb, of Hashid, without ever explicitly calling Hashid a land, bud, or a territory, bud. While several more examples could be cited, these are sufficient to illustrate that tribal names are regularly used as toponyms in the ancient South Arabian inscriptions, sometimes explicitly prefaced with bud or bid, and other times implicitly. Thus, as various sources make clear, using tribal names as toponyms is a practice that goes back to pre-Islamic antiquity. In the case of the Nehemin name specifically, its toponymic use can be documented back to the early Islamic period, and given the strong link between tribal names and territory in ancient South Arabia, it very likely goes back earlier still. In fact, scholars commenting on inscriptions referring to Nehem, which is the Nesba form of the Nehemin name, have interpreted it as referring to both a tribe and a region. Numen in ancient South Arabian inscriptions. There are several ancient South Arabian inscriptions that refer to Numen and other forms of the Nehemin name, not all of which have received significant attention from Latter-day Saints. A funerary inscription from the 3rd century AD refers to the image of Mutha'ibum, the Neheminite. A list of clans and tribes found among a collection of administrative texts from Nashan, dated to between the 1st and 3rd centuries AD, includes the Neheminite tribe, Nim. There are two relevant inscriptions found near the ancient city of Sirwa. The first, generally dated to the early 1st millennium BC, refers to two pairs of Neheminites. The other identifies a man named Azizum as both a Neheminite and a Medaite. Finally, there are the three altars well known to Latter-day Saint scholars that refer to Biathar, son of Sodom, lineage of Naum, the Nehemite, found on the foundation of Temple 3 at the Baran Temple site near Marib, and dated to around the 7th century BC. In addition, four inscriptions, all dated to the 7th century BC, refer to persons identified as the chief or tribal leader, Kbur, of the Nimt or Nimtan, which are potentially references to Nehemin. A pre-Islamic graffiti text from north of Najran near Hima may also refer to Madid, son of Sadum, the Nehemite. Some scholars have interpreted these references as identifying members of the Nehemin tribe. Joseph M. Solah Soleil, for instance, considered Nimin an attestation of the well-known tribal name Nim. Jacques Reichmans likewise interpreted the Nim of the various inscriptions as references to the Nehemin tribe south of the Wadi Jaf. Norbert Nabes considered Nim as referring to the Nehemin tribe, but indicated that the tribe was undoubtedly north of the Jaf, a location that would partially overlap with the Nehemin territory documented in Hamdani's writings, but differs somewhat from its present-day location south of the Jaf. Others have specifically interpreted these references as identifying people from the Nehemin region. Munir Arbach, for example, identified Nimin as an ethnic name, which he defined as those names designating the inhabitants of a territory or a country. Based on this definition, Nim would, of course, refer specifically to an inhabitant of the Nehemin territory or country. Likewise, Burkhard Vogt, followed by others, defined Nim as someone who, quote, comes from the Nehemin region, west of Marib, end quote, thus identifying it as the present-day Nehemin region. Finally, consistent with the close connection between tribe and territory discussed above, some have interpreted these references as indicating both a tribe and a region. Hermann von Wissmann, one of the early pioneers of the pre-Islamic tribal geography of Yemen, used references to Nim and Nimt as evidence for both a tribe and a land or region of Nehemin, which he believed was in the same general areas as the Nehemin of Hamdani's time. More recently, Peter Stein considered Nim an attestation of the tribal name Nehemin, but classified tribal names under the rubric of toponyms. He thus included Nim, identified as present-day Nehemin, on a map showing an, quote, overview of places, as well as other identifiable toponyms, which are mentioned in the well-known minuscule inscriptions, end quote. Thus, Stein essentially treated Nim as evidence of both a tribe and a region. Given this range of interpretation among scholars of ancient South Arabia, it is unnecessarily reductive when talking about the Book of Mormon to insist that Nim can only be considered evidence for a tribe, and therefore does not support the Book of Mormon's reference to a place called Nehom. Conclusion. As is clear from the above evidence, the name Nehemin and its variant spellings has deep roots far into the past as both a tribal name and a toponym, and as part of a long-standing ancient tradition in Yemen, where tribes have been strongly linked to their territories for millennia. The use of Nehemin as a place name, specifically, is documented back more than 1,000 years into the early Islamic period, and is very likely older still. This situates the origins of Nehemin as a geographic name back into the pre-Islamic era, when several inscriptions referring to Nim indicate there was a tribal entity, and by extension, likely a region, known by the Nehemin name. Among the ancient South Arabian inscriptions, tribal names are regularly used as toponyms, sometimes by specifically being called the land, bud, or territory, bid, of the tribe. On other occasions, the tribe's name could simply be used in toponymic ways without any geographic qualifiers. Furthermore, tribal names in the South Arabian inscriptions are understood to link a person to both a tribe and its territory. Looking specifically at occurrences of Nim in several ancient South Arabian inscriptions, scholars have interpreted these references as indicating affiliation with both the tribe and region of Nehemin. In biblical studies, scholars have debated over the meaning of the name Israel in the Merneptah Stela, circa 1209 BC. The Egyptian text, quote, uses the determinative semantic indicator for an ethnic group and not for a geographic region or city, end quote. Yet some have debated whether the name Israel, quote, referred originally to a geographical region and was subsequently appropriated by or applied to the mixed population of the Central Hill Country, end quote. While the reference to Israel is indeed to a people and not a geographic name, some scholars have pointed out that given the fact that the names of regions and the tribes that occupy them are typically one and the same, the whole debate seems to be unnecessarily splitting hairs. As J. Maxwell Miller and John H. Hayes put it, quote, we should probably not make too much either of the determinative that identifies Israel as a foreign people rather than a foreign land. As is the case with the name Moab, which also makes its first appearance in Egyptian texts about this time, Israel may have referred loosely to both a subregion of Palestine and the people who lived there, end quote. In light of the evidence presented here, I suggest we likewise, quote, should probably not make too much, end quote, of whether the Nim of ancient South Arabian texts refers to members of a tribe or to the inhabitants of a specific region. There is far more ambiguity in this case, in comparison with Israel in the Merneptah Stela, and when considered in the context of the conceptual relationship between tribe and place, it hardly seems worth trying to split hairs over which interpretation is preferable. Given the proper understanding of tribes and their territory in ancient Yemen, there is little difficulty in linking a tribe in ancient inscriptions with what is called a place in the Book of Mormon.
About the author. Neil Rapalai is a researcher and writer for Scripture Central, where he researches on a wide range of topics related to the historical and cultural context of Restoration Scripture, particularly the Book of Mormon. He has been published in BYU Studies, the Interpreter Foundation, Greg Cofford Books, and Covenant Communications. This is an audio production of BYU Studies, read for you by Daniel Summersday and Emily Wells. BYU Studies publishes scholarship informed by the Restored Gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information and access to articles, essays, and more, visit byustudies.byu.edu.